Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, please press star then one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you do have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now like to turn the call over to your host for today, Mr. Sridhar Gowney. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Melissa. Welcome to the Accelerated Value Program Expert Call Series. This is a new avenue of knowledge sharing exclusively available for the AVP clients. The ultimate goal of this call series is to address the current needs of the AVP community. The topics for this call series will be chosen based on the feedback we receive from you. This call is being recorded, and the links to download of the presentation material along with the audio file will be sent to you at a later time. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server Administration using Jython. The topic presenter is Jonathan Ritchie. Jonathan started his career in IBM 11 years ago as a WebSphere on ZOS developer. After 5 years there, he worked in ISSW Lab Services for 5 years, specializing in WebSphere large-scale topologies. For the past 1.5 years, Jonathan has been working with the Accelerated Value team and is helping customers with their WebSphere environments. With that, I would like to turn the presentation over to Jonathan Ritchie.
Thank you, Sridhar. Hello, everybody. If I sound a little hoarse today, I apologize. I seem to be coming down with a head cold, but I think I can survive for the for today's call. Let's go over the agenda on the next page. Okay, just to give you a quick overview as to what we're going to cover today. I'm going to quickly touch on WebSphere administration and configurations, how that works. Then we're going to start looking at WS Admin in a little more depth, look at the control, config app, and task objects. Then we're going to take a look at the WS Admin interface, go through a process of how to initiate a simple Jython script. Then we're going to use the command assistance tool to create a small Jython script, and then we're going to modify it for extended use. That's pretty much what it is. It's kind of an introduction into how to write scripting. With that, let's go to page 3. Okay. WebSphere administration configuration. As most of you have probably worked with WebSphere, you know, you have two modes for managing the environment. You have the administrative console, and you have WS Admin scripting. The console has a number of pros and cons. Pros are it's a GUI environment, so it's easy to see and view and work your way through. Changes are fairly easily made. It's easy to see the topology, what you have. Some of the cons, it can be slow. If you have to do the same change many multiple times, it can be very prone to typographic errors, and it can be difficult to create a repeatable, reusable process. Administrative scripting has the advantage of being very fast, very repeatable, easy to create reuse, and, you know, one script you can use many, many times. And you can actually make a lot of changes in a single script instead of one change at a time, as in the admin console. As most of you probably know, the configuration for WebSphere is an XML-based repository. These files, if you look through them, there's many XML files, and they can change at any point in time. In the past, you may have version 4, maybe early version 5, you may have gone and made changes to the XMLs themselves. I would advise against any of that. Changes you may have done in the past may not exist in the future or may not exist now. These XML files not only change from version to version, but can also change from A part to A part depending on what has to be fixed. So unless you've been advised by WebSphere support level 2, you can look, you know, it's good to view these files and look through, but don't ever make changes to them. Let's go to page 4. Okay. All this is a snapshot of what's your version 7, the administrative console. If you played with version 6, it looks identical. There's a couple little differences here and there. Server types, there are maybe some new server changes in there. The left-hand side pull-down, I think services may be a new object there that you can go into also. But other than that, it looks, feels, runs the same as version 6. So there's nothing unfamiliar here. Let's go to page 5. Excuse me. This is a simple snapshot of part of a server.xml. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, it's a couple highlighted items here. You can see two elements that I've highlighted here. Components, this happens to be components of a web container. You can see where the element starts at the top and ends at the bottom. And within that, there's other elements. And this one I just highlighted, the tuning parameters element and some of the attributes to there. So just to give you an idea of what you're looking at when you look at an XML file, let's take a little further look into this on page 6. Okay, I've kind of highlighted here a single element just for some clarity. This is a services element. You can see where it starts and ends. There could be sub-elements within this. I didn't show them. We don't need to for this. Some things to keep in to see. You notice that there is an XMI ID and an XMI type. Every object within the WebShare configuration in the XML has an XMI ID. That's the way we identify any specific element. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them have a type associated with it. And then once you've been able to identify a type or a configuration object, you can see that they may or may not have such of attributes. In this one, we may notice them as properties, considered attributes, but you have, you know, for this services element, you have enable URL rewriting, enable cookies, enable SSL tracking, and you've probably seen these in the admin console. This is where they exist. This is where they get finally changed if you do make changes in the console and using scripting. Let's go on to page 7. Okay, WSAdmin. Let's briefly talk about what it is. It's the scripting language for the application server. You have two scripting languages that the WSAdmin tool works with, Jython and Jackal. Jackal is still the default. That's what a lot of scripts have been written on for version 4, version 5, and early version 6. Now most people are writing in Jython. It's a little easier to write in, but it's still not the default. We'll see how to work with that in a little bit. Excuse me. Jython is basically it's the Python scripting language that has been added to. So you have the WSAdmin control objects added to the Python scripting language. The interface for version 7 is based on 5 basic objects. You have the admin control that is used to run management decisions for the runtime environment. The admin config, which is used for making any attribute changes to anything in the environment. Admin app object. This is used to manage applications. And then the admin task. This is a process for taking some commonly used commands and making them a little easier to access. And the help object. Each of these objects has a very large number of functions that can be run against them. We'll kind of see how that works. We're not going to go into details to what these functions are, but they're out there. I'll also have links as we go through so you can go look at them. I mentioned earlier about configuration types. Every object, every element that has attributes is a type. There are over 600 AWS admin types, and these are the objects within the configuration that can be manipulated, changed, what have you. So anything that can be done to the environment can be done through scripting. And in fact, the admin console underneath the covers is basically a scripted process. It uses the same endings that manage the environment that we use through the AWS admin tool. And NBeams, those are management beams. That is the way the environment is managed. They manipulate and change and read the XML files. Like I said, I'm not going to go into too much detail on this, so let's go on to page 8. Okay, let's start going over the commands a little bit, the main command objects. WSAdmin admin control. As I mentioned, this is used to invoke operational commands. You can stop and start servers, nodes, you can sync nodes, things like that. For operators may use this control function a lot. I've thrown a couple of quick examples in here just to give you an idea. On start server 1 in 100 seconds, that command from the WSAdmin prompt, you type admin control, which I've highlighted in red. You put start server, and for this particular command, you could name the server and name the amount of seconds in which you wanted it to start. Same time, you could also use admin control dot start server, just server 1, and as soon as you enter that, the server would start right up. I also, on the next example, showed you on on how to synchronize a node. The name of the node would be my node for this example. So the first line of that second bullet, what I've done is I've taken the admin control object and complete object name. What I'm trying to do is acquire an object name, a specific object, the XMI ID. I want to find the one that is for my node. Once I've done that, I've assigned it to the variable called node object. And then second line, admin control invoke node object sync. What I'm going to do is take that specific element that I've identified, and I'm going to invoke a sync command against it. And then with that, you will be able to, you would synchronize my node. Here is a URL for all the list of admin control commands for from the WAS version 7 Info Center. You can go and see all the commands that are out there. Let's go on to page 9. Okay, WSAdmin config. This is probably the most commonly used one. The admin config object is what is used to change, manipulate attributes within the environment. This is what most people will use it for. It's just, configuration management. I've, again, thrown a couple command examples in here. This is a simple one to list all the servers in an environment. At the WSAdmin prompt, you can type print admin config.list server. Any process, such as deployment manager, node agents, servers, web servers, they're all considered servers. So you'd see a full list of any server processes in your environment. And the next example said we wanted to enable the high availability manager. Now, I've done some pseudocode here. We would run code to acquire the HA manager configuration object for a specific server. We would assign that to a variable. And then in the second line, we can see what we're doing in admin config.modify. In other words, I want to modify an attribute to enable the HA manager. And these are just quick examples. We'll see a little later on a little more of how we set up some of this stuff and get some of these commands out, just to give you some examples. And again, at the bottom there's a URL on what all the admin config commands are from WAS v7 Info Center. Let's go on to page 10. Excuse me. Okay, the admin app object works the same as the others, but this one is tailored to applications. You can use install, modify applications, make changes to them, Again, a couple simple examples. Print admin app install, say myapp.ear, and you can install it. You can also do an uninstall. Here's a sample output. Most of these are pulled right out of the Info Center. You can see what the sample output is for doing an uninstall, and the output lines you would get as the uninstall process ran. Again, list of the admin app commands. There's a link for the Info Center there again. Let's go on to page 11. Okay, WSAdmin admin task. All right, this object, I think, was introduced in V6, WAS version 6. This one, they take commonly run tasks and they did some work under the covers to make it a little easier to use, so you don't have to write all of the Jython commands. This will to complete all the steps within a task. They group some of them together. I don't really have too much in the way of examples on this. We're not going to really review this today, but I want to make you aware of it. This command works a little more like a wizard. So you can interactively work with it, and you'll say, I want to admin task run a command, and it will interactively ask you for input as it goes through. You can also provide for these within a script or in a profile, which is a script containing many scripted functions. We'll talk about that in a minute, a little later. Again, another link to the Info Center. I think I have a quick example for the admin task on page 12. Yeah, I have a quick example here. Most of these are with a help command. What you see here, you can interactively get help. You can get help for all of these objects. But for this specific one, if you weren't sure what you wanted to do, the WSAdmin prompt again, you type print admin task.help. Command groups, which would list, I don't have the full list here, but it would list a whole set of commands that you can work with. On the second bullet, if one of those commands you wanted to get more information on were port management, again, you could say, okay, admin task-help port management, and it would give you a list of things that you could run against port management. I don't have the full list here again, but you can see that some of them would be list application ports, list server ports, modify server ports. So it has gone through and simplified some of the functions so that you can run them as a single function instead of having to script everything to begin with. Let's go on to page 13. Okay, WSAdmin interface. This is where we actually work with WSAdmin tool. It's located in the bin directory of your application server. So you can see here, depending on your environment, you have WebShare, App Server, your profiles, and your profile name, and in the bin directory. Usually your profile name is Deployment Manager, since that's what you usually want to talk to when you're making changes. If you happen to run your WSAdmin tool against a specific server, when your deployment manager starts up again or you desynchronize, you would lose those changes. So any changes that you want to make, you want to run against the server in an ND environment. The WSAdmin tool can be used in three modes. Interactive, that's kind of like working in a Unix or a DOS prompt. You add commands as you go through. Scripted, we'll see what that is today. It's something called local command. Now, you probably won't use local command very often. Where this comes in handy is if you have an environment that you can't bring up. You may want to run a local command, and in the past, WebShare version 5, sometimes if security was enabled and you were having trouble, something was misaligned there and you needed to disable it, sometimes this was a process for doing it. You temporarily disable it on a specific server. You could bring that server up, make changes, and then work with your environment. So you don't need a running process for the local mode. You probably won't need it very often. And if you do have your environment running, it's not recommended that you run in local mode. Let's go on to page 14. Okay, let's take a look at the interactive mode for the WSADMIN interface. Again, what you would do to start it, you go to the bin directory of your deployment manager. You type in WSADMIN. Now, remember I earlier said that the default is Jackal. So if you just typed in WSADMIN, you would get a WSADMIN prompt. It would look just like this, that first screenshot there, but it would be expecting Jackal commands. So to have it run in Jython, you would type in WSADMIN space dash lang space Jython, and this way the WSADMIN prompt will be expecting Jython commands. You usually want to start it from the deployment manager's bin directory, but sometimes that may not be accessible either. You may be on a local server and the deployment manager may be on another host. If that's the case, you can still connect to the deployment manager providing you have the correct security. You could start from any application server bin directory, but you would just type in the host and port name of where the deployment manager exists. So you want to be connected to the deployment manager if you're going to make environment changes. Here's a simple output of, you know, when you enter commands interactively, like at a Unix prompt. In this case, WSADMIN print admin config list server. I'm going to list all my server objects in my environment. And you can see the bottom four lines of the output. You can see there's the bottom five lines. You've got a web server. I've got a deployment manager. I've got two node agents. I've got a server 1 and a server 4. They're all considered server processes, so when I list a server type, it's going to list all my server processes in my environment. Let's go on to page 15. All right, so how would you initiate a WSADMIN script? And we've kind of been looking a little bit at this. Well, let's say we're working from scripted, not from an interactive mode. At that point, you would want to start your WSADMIN, but also invoke a specific script. The commands are the same whether you're doing it in Unix or Windows. The only difference may be that Unix, I have an example here, you have that WSADMIN.sh and your backslash. Maybe a little different than in DOS. But other than that, the commands are the same, it works the same, the output looks the same. For this one, just to give you an example, I have wsadmin.sh-lang-jython-f in my script. So let's see what those options are. We've already discussed the dash lang option. That's to indicate that I want the Jython language to be used. The dash F, which we haven't seen yet, indicates that I have a file that I want to use as a script that is written in Jython. So for the dash H, the dash F, you would put in a fully qualified file. Another set of commonly seen options, you'll see connection type. You may want to connect through SOAP, RMI, or none. None would be your local. Host, again, if you're connecting to a deployment manager on another server but it's part of the same environment, you may need your host name and a port number to go along with it. And a profile. Quickly touch on a profile here. Profile is a set of many functions within a single file, a set of many scripts, and we'll call them functions since there are many of them within one file. They're not separate scripts. But this way, it's easier for managing if you have 20, 30 different functions that you commonly use. You don't have to manage 20 or 30 files. You may have them in a single file. That would be a profile. We're not going to really touch on that today, though. You can also save these startup scripts to initiate your Jython files through a shell or a batch file. You can also see a full list of the initiation options, how you start them up. There are more options than what I display here. If you, at the bin directory, type wsadmin-help, you'll see the full list of what they are. You can also look in the Info Center. Let's go on to page 16. Okay, now we're going to start getting into creating our actual Jython script here. Couple things. Let's as I talked to earlier, there are a couple options for writing scripts. Before version 7, you would have to create them all from scratch. Now with version 7, we have something called Command Assistance. This is a tool that can help you identify functions within your environment and help you start off. We'll see that in a few minutes. What we're going to do over the rest of this presentation is create a simple script that is going to list all the web container custom properties for all the servers in your environment. That'll be the goal for the end of this presentation. And a couple things to remember if you start writing Jython scripts. The language is extremely case-sensitive and very indent-sensitive. So when you make indents for different types of loops, depending on what you're doing, when you start and finish a loop, if the spacing or tabbing is not the same, the script will fail. As I said, Jython is the Python. So it is a Python language, Python-based language. So there's plenty of Python documents out there on the web to give you an idea of what the language looks like. The only difference is we add wsadmin commands within there to manipulate the actual environment and configuration. It's the same syntax as or grammar as the Python language. It is a Jython is also a Java compiled language. What this means is you can actually bring in specific Java functions into your scripts depending on what you need. And I also have a simple example of this towards the end of this presentation. Let's go on to 17. Excuse me. Okay. I mentioned Command Assistance a couple times. Let's just talk a little bit about that. This is new for WebSphere version 7. What it does is it provides assistance for most of the tasks within the admin console. What it will do is when you go and you have a task, we'll demonstrate how the actual Command Assistance web page looks in a minute. But it can show you a line of code to do exactly what you're trying to do within the admin console. You can also log these commands within a log file. And these commands can be run directly from a wsadmin prompt. They can be placed directly into a script also. To enable the Command Assistance is actually fairly easy. You go to your admin console, system administration, into your console preferences, and you'll check the boxes, enable Command Assistance notifications, and log Command Assistance commands. I've only been playing with this tool a little while. Like any log file, you may want to keep an eye on it if you have it always enabled because it may start growing depending on how much work you do in the admin console. So keep an eye out when you're starting to play with the tool. The log file is located in the Deployment Manager log, so you can see WebSphere App Server Profiles, Deployment Manager's profile name, logs, DMGR, and it's called Command Assistance Jython commands _ the user that is actually logged in and making the changes. Let's go to page 18, please. Okay, this is a screenshot with the Command Assistance on logs v7. In this specific screenshot, what I've done is gone into server types, WebSphere application servers, server one for my environment, web container settings, web container and custom properties, and I've listed my one custom property. Now, what you'll notice here for my environment, on the right-hand side of the screen, under the health section, you'll see in the lower right-hand corner, command assistance. That's what you'll see if you have command assistance enabled. And when you select the highlighted text there, let's go to page 19. Okay. When you select that highlighted option there, you will get this pop-up window. And you can see you'll have the administrative scripting command. So to look at my web container custom properties, here is the command to access that. So admin config list property plus the XMID of the web container for server 1. This is the command we're going to base our script on for the rest of this presentation. So this exists here in a pop-up window. Again, it'll also show up in a log. Let's go on to page 20. Okay. Here I've got a screenshot of a command assistance log file. So I actually have three commands in here. Let's walk through them quickly. You can see that in the top command, I've created that property, and you can see what the admin command is. Usually they're on a single line. I split it for visual presentation purposes. It's got a comment in green telling you what I did. I did an application server 1 web container custom properties, new. I wanted to create a new custom property. And the Jython command for that is admin config create. And I want to create a property within that web container, and it's giving me the property values that I'm placing into there. The next command would be save. So you can see that word adminconfig.save is going to save my environment changes. And then on the screenshot we had before, I was doing a list. We're going to work on list as the primary Jython command, which we're going to work around today. But you can see, like we saw in the screenshot before, we have the admin config.list property and the XMID of the web container for server 1. So what I would do to initially create this script is I would create a file. In my case, I'm putting that file. I have a data directory / scripts directory / I would create myjython.py, and I would copy those last couple lines for the admin config list and place those into the file. And then what we're going to do is we're going to add any other necessary commands to break down the element attributes and add any formatting so we have information. All the command assistance tool is going to do is give you the one line necessary to acquire the object. So let's go on to page 21. We'll see what I'm talking about. Okay. Actually, before we go on to what the script looks like, let's relate what the command assistance command, let's see how that relates to the XML file. So I have a quick screenshot here of the server.xml for server 1. And we can see that on the top line, I have XMID web container, that number 126833, the rest of it. That is the exact same number that is in the admin config list command. Now, within that is a new property. So you the web container ID is part of you can see where that element opens and closes. That's in black. And then you can see the sub-element within it, which is a property. That also has an XMID. Since it's created, it's given an ID. It doesn't have an XMI type. We can see that I called it, my name was my web container underscore property. The value I gave it was my web container value. And the description, new web container property, and is this property required? No, false. You can see how the JSON command relates directly to an XML file. All right, let's go to page 22. Okay, this is a sample script. It looks like the formatting didn't come out too well. I apologize for that. Okay, let's walk through it a little bit. The green lines are those are comments. Let's give you the purple lines are variables. So let's walk through this. Start off with the script name. So it'll print out script myjython.py so I know what script is being run. After that, we're going to retrieve custom property elements. So this was the actual line from the command assistance. What I've done is, in purple, you see web container property list. The command actually does that admin config.list. So it's creating a list of my properties. I only happen to have one property in there, so it's, you know, not a big deal here. But I assign that set of properties to my web container property list. After that, you can see I've got assigned attributes to variables. So I've got my property element like we saw on the page before. And, you know, it's got name, value, and description. Those are attributes for that specific property. Well, we want to pull all of those attributes out so we can see them. So, again, I've got three variables here, property name, property value, property descript, and you can see that for each one, I'm going to do an admin config show attribute, pull up this attribute for my web container property list, that is the ID of the element I'm looking at, and pull out the name attribute, and then pull out the value attribute and the description attribute. Pull these attributes out, assign them to variables. And on the last step here, display web container custom property. So to make it look all nice and neat, I'll print out web container custom property, and then I'll print out name equals. And you can see I have comments there and plus signs. This is common Python, and it's very similar to Java coding languages. I've printed out the property name, which is a variable. Then I've gone through the property value and the property description. Let's go to page 23. We'll see what the output looks like. It'll make a little more sense. Excuse me. So let's go through. Let's execute this script and then see what the output looks like. To execute this script from the bin directory, wsadmin-lang-jython-f, the name of my script file, data, scripts, myjython.py, and this is what the output looks like. You can see that the first two lines, it's connecting to the deployment manager. It's letting you know that I am connected and ready to run. It's printed out the name of my script, myjython.py, and it's telling me I'm pulling out a web container custom property, and then it's listing out that property, name, my web container property, value, my web container value, description, new web container property. So that's what we got so far. There's a couple things to note. Currently, this script will only work for one custom property in server one. It is, you know, it's nice, it's cool, but it really doesn't do us a whole lot of good. What this tells us, if we use the command assistance command as is, it's only going to work for that specific object that you're looking at. So, you know, there are some modifications that will be needed if we want to use this script to look at all custom properties and all web containers and all my servers. So that will be the next step, is we'll walk through that process and what I've done to make this so I can list all those properties for my whole environment. Let's go to page 24. Okay, all right, looks like the formatting came out a little better on this one. All right, so I've made a couple changes here. They're in bold. You can see that I've added a line separator, and a for statement. So let's walk through these. You can see where I've done a comment, pound, define a line separator. What that is as I said, the command assistance command is an admin config list. If we have multiple properties, the way Jython works is it will list them one at a time in a line. It won't list them strung on each other. So if you printed the list out, you'll see one element, another element, each on separate lines. Kind of like when I did list servers. You can see where I had web container, deployment manager, node 1, node 2, server 1, and server 4. You've got a list. They're separated by little line return characters. This is a Java piece of Java code that we have in here where we have a line separator variable, and we're defining that as a Java line system get property line separator. This is part of the Java environment. Since this is Java compiled, we can do that. All right, let's take a look at the for statement. And it's just a loop to go through. Since I may have multiple web container properties, I want to go through, and for each property, I want to see the name, value, and description. So let's see, how does the for loop work? Let's walk through that quickly. You can see that the for loop is I have in blue there, and I've got two variables, web container prop and web container prop list. So, as I said before, the admin config.list will create a list. For each one of those in the list, I'm going to take my list, assign the first one to my web container prop variable. And it's defining this list again by the line separator. So it's going to then say, okay, for the current web container prop in the list, let's list out the property name, the property value, and the property description. I'm going to keep rotating through this loop until all the properties are, I've gone through all the properties I have in my list. So that's part of it. Let's make sure I covered everything here. Yep. Let's go on to page 25. Okay. Let's see what happens when we run this. Now, first thing I did was I have a screenshot here of my web container property list because I added a few more properties. We wanted to see if we had multiple properties how this would really work. So I have my original custom property there, and I've added two more. And now if we run the script currently, we'll see the following output. It'll go through. It'll say script my Jython again, web container custom property. It's found one, and you've got a name, value, and description. It's looped through again, found a new one, web container property 2, again, value and description. And it went through again, and it saw that there was a third. When it's done with all three, it's done. The script finishes, and it's showed you all the custom properties and their values that exist for this web container. So now we know how to list multiple web containers, but we're still stuck in the one server. So let's go on to page 26. All right, so what we had is a file that will list multiple properties in a web container, but will not work on multiple servers. So let's make the changes so this will work on all servers. Sorry about the formatting again. So what we made changes here, let's see. Let's walk through them. I have a server type. All right. What we have to do is we don't want to work with a specific server ID. We want to gather server IDs as we go along. Our original command from command assistance had admin config.list property and a specific server ID. Well, our servers are of type server. Remember we talked about types earlier on. They're object types all throughout the repository. So we want a list of all the servers in our environment, and then we have a for loop there. For every server on that list, again, it's line separated, we want to take each one, each server, and what we're going to do is print that server name and show an attribute. Each server has a name. And then we're going to go through and pull out all the web containers for that server. It should only have one. You'll also notice that I have a try statement in there. It's like a Java try statement. You're trying something. If it doesn't work, you want to be able to get out of the process if it fails. So I have a try, and I have an accept to go along with that. So let's walk through this. Print the server name. We're going to try getting a web container, providing the server contains one. If this server contains, it has an actual web container as part of it, we want to pull out the ID of that web container. Then we're going to go through and do what we just did. From that web container ID, we're going to pull out the custom properties and display them. Again, we've got another for loop here, server ID. I created a server ID list. For each item in that list, I want to go through and pull out the web container stuff. And then at the bottom, we have an accept. If for some reason I couldn't find a web container in a specific server, or there were no custom properties, I want to go on to the next server. So let's go on to page 27. And take a look at the output here. All right. Now, as I said before, not all servers are going to contain web containers, and thus they wouldn't have web container custom properties. Since this script is going to look at every running process, nodes, deployment manager, web containers, and servers as a server type, it's going to pull all of these and scroll through them. So let's walk through the output. Script my Jython server name. The name is impact server impact web server one. Impact web server. A web server contains no web container properties, so there's nothing to display there. The same for the node agent. There's two of them. Then we get to server one. That's the first one we have where we actually have a web container, and within that we have the three properties that we put in there. Then we go on to server 4, which I have not set up any custom properties, so there's nothing to print out there. So you can see that the end script will actually walk through your whole environment, pulling out all the web containers and the custom properties and list them out for you. Now you've got a script that you can use in any environment to list them. So you can see how we kind of walk through from a single command from the command assistance and slowly built that up to a reusable script that can be used over and over and over again. And that pretty much covers what I was going to do today. Let's go on to page 28. Okay, we pretty much walked through what I was going to do today, so you'll have a little more free time on your hands. But I do have some links here, in case you're interested, some Jython development tools. There's a tools presentation out there. There's also some Info Center getting started with scripting information. There's a red paper. There's a couple of them out there. I've got one listed here. And Bob Gibson has also written a book, supposed to be very good, on WSADMIN scripting. It may be something you may want to look at if you're going to start seriously working with this. That's pretty much all I have. Hopefully I didn't go too quickly. Go on to page 29. And that's pretty much it. Melissa, if you want, you can open up the call for any questions.
Great. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Eswa Venkalyap. Your line is open.
Hey, I saw that in the first slides that admin console is faster, I mean, is slower than the script, but we are using version 6. We are using the Spear processor version 6, and it's admin console is actually faster than the actual script. So I wrote a script to install the applications and uninstall the applications and change the custom properties, etc., using the Jasper script. But the script is very slow than the admin console. So could you please comment on that?
Now, are you doing many changes in many servers at once?
Just one server.
Okay, so yeah, if you're doing a single change, the admin console is probably quicker. But I've been in environments where you have 1,000 servers and you have 1 hour to make a change on all the servers. Say a property was not correctly set on a migration. To do that through the admin console would take many, many hours, while I was able to accomplish that task for 1,000 servers in 5 minutes. So depends on the changes. Yes, single changes, the admin console, probably simpler and faster. If you're doing multiple changes in multiple servers on larger topologies, then you'll start seeing a big difference.
Okay. And one more question on this. Can multiple people execute the scripts for each script, you know, I'm changing, uninstalling one application, and there is another person running another script at the same time, which is installing a new application. So I'm uninstalling an application using the script, and another person is installing an application on the same server. So on a
single... Yeah, that's still something. This has always been a touchy part of WebSphere. You really don't want to start making multiple changes on the same server application at the same time. The rules for the admin console still apply to any scripting. What happens is if person A, when somebody runs a script, whether it's with WS Admin Console or through a scripting environment, you get a copy of the configuration. And if that your copy
I'm sorry.
No, I don't know if that was me or you. Back to if you have a copy of a configuration for your ID, somebody else makes a copy. If they save a copy, if they save their changes to the environment, and then you save your changes to the environment, their changes are overwritten. This situation can happen with this, or, you know, it's not advisable that if you're doing two different servers and two different applications, you might be able to get away with it. Be cautious, be very cautious, but it's still very possible to have changes over step on each other.
So it's advisable only to run one script at a time per
server? Or at least have them set so they complete one at a time.
Okay.
Now, when you start writing scripts, you can set them up as with a batch process so that you don't do that. You have five scripts run whatever they're going to do, and they complete and then start the next, complete, start the next. And this way you won't run into that issue.
Okay. And another quick question. Which one is faster, Jackal or Jython? What do you recommend, Jackal scripts, or you said it's default, right? So we are using Jackal scripts.
Yeah, since they both run from Java compiler, I don't think one's faster than the other. The one reason I've written in both, I like Jython because it's very Java-centric. It looks and feels like Java. So if you play with Java, playing with Jython is very simple. You're not, you know, the syntax isn't completely different.
Thank you.
So it's a usability standard, then I don't think it's really a speed advantage.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from Balanand Pinney. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Balanand Pinney. I have a question. Is that can we get a copy of this presentation? Because I did not see with the invite that was sent to me. So.
Yeah, I think this presentation is going to be available on a webcast. Sridhar, I think we'll go over this at the end. I think this is recorded so that you'll be able to pull this back up.
Okay.
Yes.
This presentation along with the audio files download links will be sent to you via your accelerated value leader.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question comes from Mabanan Tanasetti. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is there any JMAX equivalent to those of WSAdmin implicit objects? There seems to be little information that we could find in the info center about the JMAX.
Okay. Yeah, there may not be as much information as we would like out there. I don't have a lot of information on that. If you want to send your question to Sridhar or myself, we'll see if we can get you some more information.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Krish Suri. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Krish Suri. I have a couple of questions. Right now with WAS 7, the default language is still Jekyll. But the documentation which I see is mentions that Jekyll is going to be deprecated soon. So do we have to modify all our scripts? I have all my scripts in Jekyll, but do we have to modify it to Jython soon, or are they going to get? Yeah.
At this point, yeah. I know I've been hearing Jekyll is deprecated. There's been a lot of talk going back and forth. I don't have the answer as to what eventually is going to happen. Once your version 8 is coming out, I don't know when the announcement is in terms of when it'll be general availability, but you'll still have Jekyll in there, so you don't have to rush. I don't know if it's going to be ever removed. I know it is deprecated, but I don't know the final outcome of Jekyll. You may have to eventually at some point convert them. I don't know when. It may not be for quite a while. And there are some tools out there to help with that.
Right. I tried a couple of tools there, but, you still have to go through each and every line to make sure that it's, there are some syntactical changes and then some are logical changes and then,
Yeah, they're still perfecting the tools. They're not quite where we'd like them to be.
Right. And for the example that you quoted, which separates, uses the line separator from the Java and then uses it,
mm-hmm.
We have a simple command in Jekyll. It says for each, and then it would just, you don't need a line separator and all, it just separates out all the So there are a lot of differences. I tried that, but, since it says deprecated, I'm not sure when it's going to be. And you said it would be still there in version 8, WebSphere?
At this point, yes. It's been, it'll be around for version 8. It's not disappearing anytime soon.
Okay. I have one more question. I tried this several times, but this question is specific to the data sources. From the admin console, you can, if you use the container managed persistence, you can just select, check the CMP on the admin console. But whereas if you do it with scripting, I tried several options, but there is no such specific thing to enable or disable container managed persistence. You have any suggestion on that?
I haven't looked at that. I could take a look and see. I don't have an answer off the top of my head. I'd have to look and specifically see if I can if that can be scripted. I don't know.
Okay, I tried with the command assistance with that comes with version 7, and in the log file that gets generated with that mentions a option called enable command container managed persistence. And I tried to use that option in my script, and there's no such option like that, and it failed. So I'm not sure at this point if command assistance is exactly what it shows. We can use them in our scripts. So
if you get some time, send me that info. We can pass that on, and if there is a problem, we'll definitely forward it and open up a problem ticket to take a look at that.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. Okay, and one final question, if I may. I have observed that the Jekyll scripts, in fact, I think I have a PMR open with IBM, but the Jekyll scripts in version 7 take a lot of time compared to the same Jekyll script that run on version 6. So far from the PMR, I realized that they said there's a lot of metadata that's being loaded. So is there work going on to improve the performance of the scripts, Jekyll or Jython on WAS 7?
I don't have the answer to that at this point.
Okay.
Again, this is something else. If you want, you can send Sridhar or myself a note. We can look into it.
Okay.
And get back to you.
All right. Like I said, I have a PMR open, but haven't been much much helpful. That
they have been able to provide you much data on that?
No, I provided all the traces, but you know, still it's a lot slower. I mean, the same script that runs on version 6 is what, like 30 seconds, and compared to the same script on version 7, it's about like 10 minutes. So it's quite slower than the admin console, I should say, at this point.
Yeah, that does sound pretty painful.
Yeah,
I think at this point, if they're not getting back to you with an answer as to why that may be, you may want to talk to your IBM rep to see about, you know, getting a little more attention on that PMR.
Okay, all right. Thanks, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
As a reminder to participants, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one.
I think before we get to the next question, there are a couple of questions on the web conference. The first question is from Dinesh. Is the JSON scripting language tab specific? Do the lines need to be specific format tab separated? I'm not sure if this is answered or not.
Okay, is there really a tab separate specific? You want it to be a... Okay, you can use tabs or spaces in JSON, but you have to be consistent either way. I've used both. You can do it however you like, but as long as you're consistent on your tabbing and or spacing, you'll be fine. If you start tabbing one part of an indent and then spacing the next, JSON will cough up on you. So as long as you're consistent within your indenting, whether you use tab or space, you'll be fine.
Okay. Moving on to the next question. Is command assistance also available in version 6?
I don't believe so. I haven't seen it. I think it's new in version 7. I'm almost positive it is.
Okay.
So people, I know a lot of people are still on version 6, and this would be a nice tool to have. What I could recommend at that point, if possible, is a little standalone single WebSphere environment, and you know, since the admin console and most of the setup is pretty much the same, you could get an idea of what the command would be for a version 6, depending on what you're doing. It may not be exact, but it'll give you a good starting point. It's not the best I can do for version 6 at this point. Any other questions?
I see no questions in the queue at this time.
Hey, Sridhar, I want to thank you very much for giving me the time to present. Sridhar, do you want to close it out or...
He still is on the line.
I wonder if he's muted. Well, I think we can close out at this point. I know Sridhar was going to send out, a recap of this and also the webcast to all the AVP folks. So I think we're good.